So overwhelmed, the reason why we started this sermon series is honestly, we really believe that God led us there. In September, we spoke about hope. This month, we're speaking about being overwhelmed. Last week, we spoke about what to do when you're tired, when you feel exhausted. And there's a lot of things in life right now that probably are causing you to feel exhausted or causing you to feel tired. People are chasing little ones around. You're figuring out school. You're figuring out life. You got work-life balance happening. You got your own stuff going on as well as all the stuff in the world around us that we see constantly hitting us all the time. And at times, it can feel very, very overwhelming and, quite frankly, exhausted. Most people I talk to, and especially in the last 3 months, almost every conversation ends typically with somebody saying, I just feel really tired. I'm just real exhausted. I'm tired of seeing it on media. I'm tired of social media. I'm tired of the news. By the way, how many of you were real excited when Facebook and Instagram went down for a day? You're like, oh, thank Jesus. I don't got to keep up with anything. But then what happens? As soon as it kicks back on, you're like, whoop, right back at it. There you go. And all these things, all these words, all the noise, all the sound coming at us can definitely make us feel overwhelmed. Today, I want to talk about something I think will really help us a lot, and that is, how do we handle it when we feel like we can't handle it anymore? What do we do when we feel like we just can't handle it anymore? Whatever it is, whatever is going on in our life, we just feel like, okay, if I get one more bad news, if I have one more thing that comes up, if I see one more thing happen, I'm just going to lose it, you know? And then next week, we're going to talk about what happens when we don't feel like praying anymore. In the last week, don't miss the last Sunday, we're going to talk about, God, where are you? God, are you even out there listening? Again, feeling overwhelmed. And what we're doing this month is a little different. We're taking a little case study from the book of Kings with the prophet Elijah. We're kind of using him as a quick summary leap pad, and then we're going to jump to the New Testament today. And really, the subtitle is Lessons That We Can Learn from the Boat During a Storm. And what do we learn from Jesus and from the disciples of how to navigate those difficult times when we feel absolutely overwhelmed? So in 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19, just a quick summary. I did it last week. I'm going to do a real quick summary this week. The next two Sundays, we're going to go to the end of Elijah's journey in the cave. But before we get there, again, just a quick summary. Elijah, powerful prophet in the Old Testament. So much so that he actually doesn't physically die. God takes him up in a whirlwind. He does about 14 to 16 miracles. They're pretty powerful miracles. Fire coming down from heaven, prophesying rain, raising somebody from the dead. I mean, these are pretty powerful miracles that he does. And in the New Testament, you see him in the New Testament, you see Elijah and Moses when Jesus is transfigured in front of some of the disciples. It's Elijah there. And in Revelation 11, there's two witnesses that come back. And those people would say that that's probably Enoch and Elijah coming back. He's very prominent in Jewish custom and Jewish faith, as well as in the Christian faith. And he's a really, really well-respected prophet. However, I say all that to say that he had his moment. And he had his moment where he literally went under a tree in the wilderness and just wanted to die. So how does a prophet go from, literally in 1 Kings 18, he sees fire come down from heaven. We talked about it last week. The prophets of Baal, 450 of them, and Elijah. He does a challenge, and God shows up with fire. And then he real quickly goes, and he prophesies that rain's going to come in a place that had a drought for several years. Elijah had no problem confronting sin, had no problem confronting queens and kings and generals. And yet, after he gets done with these two amazing miracles, these 2 days that we would say that was a pretty good day, this evil queen Jezebel says that she wants to kill him. And so that's where we find Elijah. We find him in 1 Kings 19 running into the wilderness and sitting down under a tree and saying the words, God, just kill me. I've had enough. I've had enough. So how does somebody go from a pretty awesome day to feeling that exhausted, that overwhelmed? In 1 Kings 19:4, it says he goes by himself out into the wilderness. He sits under a tree, and he says, I can't handle it anymore. Just take away my life. And I think that all of us can relate to that to some degree. Maybe not the take my life part, but maybe. But I think all of us can relate to having a really good day, and then you get that one bad report, or you get that one text message, or something happens with your kids. Something happens in your health, and all of a sudden, you just feel like that one day or that months of good days or even a year can just kind of go away real quickly, and all of a sudden, we're sitting there kind of like Elijah going, what is going on? I thought things were going good. I thought this was going to be a different year than it is right now. I thought this fall was going to be so different, and life was going to be different, and now here we are again, and on it can go. And if we're not careful, what happens? We get physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually tired, run down, overwhelmed, and that's exactly where the enemy loves us to get to. Because it's in those moments when we feel weak, when we feel tired, when we feel exhausted, that the enemy just loves to come in and actually kind of help that in a bad way, you know, kind of encourage us in a negative way. And so hopefully today, I'm going to give us four things today that we can do when we feel overwhelmed to the point that we just can't handle it anymore. And how do we actually navigate and do that? So I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, there's a fantastic passage of scripture where Jesus and the disciples get into a boat and they go to the other side. And the journey that they have, just in one night's journey, if you track with me for a few minutes, I think you're going to leave here encouraged and reminded of a few things that Jesus says to his disciples and what his disciples did during this time of storm. So Matthew chapter 8, verse 23, it says, when Jesus gets into the boat, his disciples followed him. So real quick quiz already. We're doing a quiz. Ready, Pastor Daniel? Who's in the boat? Jesus and the disciples, right? It's not real hard to figure out. That's probably real important, though, to remember that Jesus and the disciples get into the boat. Jesus gets in first. His disciples are following Jesus. Just keep that in mind. Verse 24, it says, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so the boat was being swamped by waves, and Jesus was asleep. So they're out in the middle of the sea. They follow Jesus onto the boat. The storm comes. Jesus is just sleeping away. And then, in verse 25, it says, they went to him. They went to Jesus. They woke him up, and they said, save us, Lord. We are perishing. We are gonna die. Now, the disciples aren't foreign to being on the sea. Most of them are fishermen. This had to be a real significant storm for them to panic this much, to think that they're going to die. You can imagine, nice and calm, get into the boat. About halfway through, the storm rolls in. The boat's taking on water. They're panicking. They're trying to adjust sails and oars, keep the ship in line, keep everything going forward. And at some point, they begin to panic. At some point in their journey, they begin to feel overwhelmed and stressed, anxious and worried to the point they thought they were going to die. And Jesus is just over there snoring away. I don't know if Jesus snored or not. Is that sacrilegious that it says snored? I don't know. But he's sleeping. If it was me, he'd be snoring and drooling, but you know, this is Jesus. He's probably like perfect over there sleeping. And the disciples got to wonder, why is he sleeping? Almost as if to say, does Jesus not care that we're going to die? Is he not even worried that there's a storm? And so they go over and they woke him up. I don't know who drew the short straw to wake him up. It would have been like, can you imagine, like, who's going to wake him up? I'm not waking him up. You know, somebody's got to go wake him up. So they go over and they're panicked. And this is what Jesus does. He asks a bizarre question, in my opinion. He says, why are you afraid? Now, what if he asked you that question? Why are you afraid? It seems like a bizarre question. I'm afraid because the boat's about to sink in the middle of a storm. And you're over there sleeping. That's why I'm afraid. Then Jesus challenges their faith. He says, you have little faith. And he gets up and he rebukes the winds and the sea. And there is great calm. And in fact, so the disciples marveled, saying amongst themselves, what sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now, they had seen Jesus do a few things already. But this is a whole different level where Jesus is now commanding the winds and nature and the sea. Oh, but it gets better. So it calms down. They get to the other side. And this last verse is kind of important to tie it in this morning. In verse 28, it says, when they came to the other side, it said that two possessed men come running out of the tombs so fierce that nobody could pass. So I want you to kind of get this whole picture here. Jesus has all the crowds following him on the other side, so he wants to get in the boat with the disciples. The disciples are following Jesus, just doing what he says to do. They get in the boat. Halfway through, storm comes. They think they're going to die. They see Jesus do this amazing miracle. They're in wonder and awe at it. And then the moment they land, two possessed people come running out of the tombs at them. That's a crazy night, isn't it? It's a wild night. I want to relate that a little bit to our journey and story, maybe a little bit of you. There's some things that the disciples did, and there's some things that Jesus spoke on that I really believe will help you and us get through the overwhelming feeling of when we feel like we can't handle it anymore. The first one is this. We got to start here. Number one, four quick things. The first one is a reminder for us all. Jesus never said it was going to be easy. I think it's just important to start there. I think sometimes we forget that Jesus never told us it was going to be easy. In fact, a lot of people misuse 1 Corinthians 10:13, and they want to believe that Jesus says that nothing will overcome you or nothing will overwhelm you. In other words, people say, well, Jesus won't give me anything that I can't handle in life, and that's actually not what it's speaking about. In fact, I think sometimes it's the opposite. We often get put in positions that we feel we can't handle, but 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. And what he's saying is that God is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with every temptation, he'll provide an escape, a way to endure it. So Jesus actually never says that life isn't going to be hard. Jesus never says there's not going to be storms, that there's not going to be big waves. Jesus never said that you're never going to get a bad report or a bad issue with your job or that you're not going to experience loss. But what he did say is that he's not going to give you temptation you can't handle. He also goes on in John 16:33, just another good reminder, again, just a reminder that it's not going to be easy, where Jesus says, I said all these things to you so that you can have peace, because in this life you will have tribulation. You're going to have problems. Jesus in his own mouth said, you're going to have problems in this life. There's going to be times where you are overwhelmed. There's going to be issues that come up. But then he reminds us again that I've overcome the world. I've already overcome everything. In Luke 21:17, another reminder, he says, you'll be hated on account of my name. So I know I was saying this is going to be an encouraging morning, and it will, trust me. You're probably sitting there going, that's not encouraging so far. Where's the encouraging part? We're going to get there, but we have to start with just the reminder that life's not easy. It's just not. There's storms. Some of you right now this morning, you came in here and you have a raging storm that you're in the middle of. You don't know what to do. There's water coming in your boat. You have no idea what to do. Some of you just came out of a storm. Some of you might be seeing a storm on the horizon. And storms will happen. There are things outside of all of our control that we cannot manage and control that happen to us in this world. We see it all the time. So Jesus never promised us that it would be easy. What he did promise us, though, is that he'd be with us all the way to the very end. What Jesus does promise us is that he'll actually be in the boat with you through the storm. In Matthew 28:20, it's at the end of the commissioning call that we all have, where Jesus says, go in all the world and make disciples, teaching people, baptizing people. At the end of that, he says, I am with you to the very ends of the age. The comfort is not necessarily whether there's storms or not. The comfort isn't whether or not things will happen in life. The comfort is knowing that Jesus is with you in the middle of the storm, that he's right there alongside of you. Which leads to the second point I want to get to, and that is this. The second point of encouragement is you have to stay in the boat. How do you navigate difficult times? How do you navigate the storms? Take a lesson from the disciples, just stay in the boat. And here's why I say that. I think too many people quit. They quit before they see the miracle. They quit before the answer comes. They quit before they even give God the opportunity to show up in the middle of the storm. We have a culture that loves to quit. We have people quit things all the time. They quit on themselves. They quit on God. They quit in marriages. They quit in relationships. They quit at jobs. They quit at churches. I mean, people just quit. If things get tough, they just quit. And my fear is that we have kind of this ingrained thought that we give God about 2 seconds to show up, and if he doesn't show up, we just quit. We just move on. The one thing disciples did do well in is they didn't jump out of the boat and try to swim the shore. They stayed in the boat, and Jesus was in the boat with them. Remember, Jesus doesn't challenge how hard they worked. He never challenged whether or not they were good fishermen. He didn't challenge whether or not they were doing the right things. What he challenged was their faith. It takes faith to stay in the boat. It takes faith to go through the middle of the storm and feeling overwhelmed. It takes faith to say, well, if Jesus brought me to it, he's going to bring me through it. That takes faith. It requires faith that says, I've gotten to the boat with Jesus, and we're going to the other side, and there's a storm coming. Remember, the disciples just did what Jesus told them to do. They just got into the boat. They were following Jesus' commandments. They were following him wherever he went, and Jesus led them right into the middle of a storm. So what happens when that happens to us? Where's our faith? Does our faith kick in? Hebrews 11:1 defines that faith for us, doesn't it? Hebrews 11:1 says faith is the assurance of things that we are hoping for. It's the conviction of things that are unseen. But verse 2 says this, for the people of the old received their commendation. And I love verse 3. I think often people read Hebrews 11:1 and they kind of stop. I love verse 3. Verse 3 says, by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. That's a powerful verse. That it requires faith on our side to believe what we haven't even seen. None of us were there when God created the universe. We weren't there. So it requires faith to even believe that God created the universe. It requires faith to say that I'm going to stay inside of the building. It requires faith to say that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. That requires faith and action to our faith. Hebrews 11:6 is a verse that always hits me pretty strongly. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. It requires faith even just to come to God. It requires faith to accept Him in your life as your Savior. It requires faith just to step out of your door and walk wherever you're going to go tomorrow after church. It requires faith. It's all about faith. It comes back to that faith. And by the way, I want to encourage you with something. Faith is one of the gifts of the Spirit that we are allowed to pray for more of. When was the last time you prayed for more faith? Not just to have more faith, but for the God of faith to be evident in your life where you are, to have that kind of faith. It requires faith to draw near to God. All of this requires faith. It requires faith to stay in the boat. Here's something to notice about Jesus, and I know this is an obvious one, but I think it's a good reminder. Did you notice Jesus didn't panic? Jesus was asleep in the boat. In the middle of a storm, he was just sleeping. Why? Well, because Jesus wasn't concerned about the storm. The disciples panicked. They got worked up. But you didn't notice that when Jesus woke up from his nap on the boat, he didn't wake up going, oh my goodness, why didn't you wake me up earlier? We're all going to die, every man for themselves, and just left him. He didn't bowl on him. He didn't jump over. He didn't walk on water. He could have just ran on water to shore. He didn't do any of that. He was not nervous. And listen to me. If Jesus isn't nervous, why are you? If God's not concerned, why are you? Jesus isn't panicking. He's not upset about it. He's not overwhelmed by it. So why do we get overwhelmed by the storm? Probably because of the same reason the disciples did. They looked at the storm and for a moment forgot Jesus was in the boat. See, what happens with us, the reason why we feel overwhelmed, quite honestly, you can say whatever it is you're overwhelmed about. More than likely, it's because you've taken your eyes off of Jesus and you're just looking at the storm. If the disciples would have just trusted Jesus, Jesus would have calmed the storm. Instead, he challenges their faith because they lost faith. We got to stay in the boat. And don't get nervous until you see Jesus get nervous. And by the way, Jesus is never nervous. He's never anxious. A lot of comfort in that, isn't there? Now, I know that's easy to say, right? It's easy to say, but when you're in the middle of the storm, it's a lot harder to live out, just like the disciples. I mean, the disciples physically had Jesus in the boat, and they still missed the point. So I get it, it's tough. But it requires faith. My prayer for you is that you would ask for an increase of faith in your life, that you'd be able to handle whatever storm you're going through, whatever's happening, that you'd be able to go through it. The third point is this morning. Number three is this. I really love this one. One word from Jesus can calm your storm. Church, take comfort in that. Find encouragement in that. One word from Jesus can calm whatever it is you're going through. One word from him, one look from him, one move from him can heal, can restore, can provide, can give favor, and can absolutely calm the storm that you're in right now. He did it in the boat. He can do it again. If he did it before, he can do it in your life. In Matthew chapter 8 earlier, in verse 8, there's a fantastic passage of faith where we see Jesus do this. There's a centurion that comes up to Jesus, and the centurion has got servants at his house, and one of his servants is sick and ill. And so the centurion runs up to Jesus because he hears that Jesus is there, and he believes that Jesus can do miracles. But what he does is pretty amazing. In fact, Jesus actually marvels at the level of this man's faith. The centurion goes up to Jesus and says, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come to my house under my roof. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And then he explains, he says, I too am a man with authority, And I tell people under me to go, and they go. I tell them to come, and they come. I tell my servants to do this, and they do it. Just say the word, Jesus. Just say the word. In verse 10, it says, when Jesus heard this, he was marveled. And he told the people around him, I tell you, no one in Israel have I seen with this much faith. And then Jesus turns to him, and he says, go, your servant is healed. And the Bible says that at that very moment, that servant was healed. Listen, don't tell me that Jesus doesn't have the power with one word to change everything. He can change everything. Think about your salvation story. Forgiveness is just one instance that with one word of forgiveness, you are forgiven. And Jesus can do that in every life that we have, in every area of our life that we have. Just one word from him. Just one look from him. So you might be going through a storm this morning. Do we have the faith that can believe and say, Jesus, you just say the word and it's done? And until then, until that moment, I'm going to stay in the boat. And until that moment, I'm not going to focus on the storm in front of me. Instead, I'm going to focus, Jesus, on who you are. Which leads to the fourth and final point this morning. That's this. I think it's a critical moment. What we learn through this storm is going to get us through the next storm. I think it's important for us to learn in every storm we have in life. The disciples, as we already read, they were in the middle of a storm with Jesus. They experienced this storm with him, and they saw him do a miracle, and he literally calmed the winds and the waves with just one word, calmed everything. And then they get to the shore, and as we already read, they get to the shore, and two demon-possessed people come running out of the tombs that were vicious. In fact, they were so vicious, it says that people couldn't even pass by them. And you can imagine the disciples again thinking, great, we just got out of this storm, and now we're into this one. And I can almost picture, it'd be, I don't know, just the way my mind works. I picture Jesus getting off the boat first, and they're all still talking about, wow, can you believe that Jesus just healed or just did this last night, and it was amazing, and can you believe who he is? He's marvelous. And just at that moment, they hear the yellings and the screamings of possessed people running towards them. You can almost imagine that if this is Jesus here, they're all like, all right, go ahead, Jesus, you're up. You're up next. We're just going to line up behind you and just, you go get them. I imagine they learned something pretty special that night in the middle of the storm. I imagine that it grew their faith and strengthened their faith. And their faith was tested immediately. They went from one storm to another storm. Sometimes life like that, isn't it? Sometimes you go from one storm to another storm to another storm to another storm. And the prayer and the hope is that as you see God move in this storm, it will strengthen you through the next storm. And then through the next one, and then through the next one. Because storms will come. Jesus already said it's going to get worse. It's not going to get easier. We got to navigate it with faith and with strength, staying in the boat with Jesus. I want to read a verse that I think is pretty powerful. Hebrews 13:8. It's a reminder that it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what I love about that verse is just the notion that if Jesus calmed the storm then, he can calm the storm today. That if Jesus healed people then, how many believe he can heal people today? That if Jesus accepted people and connected with people and loved people then, that he's going to heal and love people today. It's the same. He hasn't changed. The same Jesus. Listen, by the way, in Genesis, where it says the Word was with God, right? That's in John, but it's also in Genesis where it speaks about Jesus being there at the creation of everything. That same Jesus at the beginning of creation, the same Jesus is with us in Scripture, is the same Jesus that's with you right now in the middle of the storm that you're going through if you stay in the boat. Meaning if you stay in relationship with him and trusting him. Joshua 23:8, I'm going to read it in two different versions of translations. In Joshua 23:8, it says this. This is the ESV version that we use on Sundays. It says, but you will cling to the Lord your God just as you have done before to this day. And what he's saying is like, hang on to God just like you did before and hang on to him today. I want to read it out of a different version that I just like the way that it's worded. I don't use this one to preach out of, but it's the English Clear Word version. But I really like how it's worded. It said this, "But you shall cling to the Lord your God just as you have done to this day." The English version, "Hold on to the Lord and do what he asks you to do. He has helped you before. He will do it again." I really like that translation. I think it's a good reminder for us. What do we do when we feel overwhelmed? Here's what you do. You hold on to the Lord just like you did before. You stay in the boat. He's helped you before, and he'll do it again. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And oh, by the way, he's not going to kick you out of the boat. Hang on to him like you did before. If he did it before, he'll do it again. Don't give up. We started this last Sunday, and we're going to end the same way today. I think it's a pretty special way to end. Often we don't get an opportunity just to build in moments into the service to reflect or just to hear from God. And I felt that this sermon series required that. That I'm kind of just giving us four just kind of hopeful reminders. Listen, we know it's not going to be easy. We got to stay in the boat. We got to ask God for that miracle and trust that he's going to do it, right? That's the takeaways for us today that are really relevant for us in life. But I want to give you three questions at the end of each week. And Pastor Daniel up here is going to sing the song Quiet Over Us. We started last week. It's kind of a theme song for us for this month, if you will. The first part of the song, you'll see these questions, and the next part, you'll see the words, but this isn't meant for you to sing with. It's meant for you just to sit there and reflect. So there's three reflective questions I'm going to give you. The first one is this, number one, is what is the storm you're going through right now? What's the storm that's happening? What's the storm that maybe is on the horizon? What's the storm that you kind of sense is coming your way? What is it? Just to name it. The second question is, how is your faith being tested right now? Where's your faith being tested? If Jesus was going to stand up in a boat and challenge your faith, what would it be on? Where's your faith being tested? And the third question is, what is the miracle that you're praying for? What are you hoping that as long as you stay in the boat and you stay close to God, that God is going to do this miracle in your life? What is that miracle you are hoping for? And those are the three reflective questions. So as Daniel leads us in that song, he's going to sing it over us. It's a great opportunity for you just to listen to God this morning. Maybe you came in feeling very overwhelmed. Maybe you came in feeling discouraged. Maybe you feel like Elijah where you're just kind of done. Maybe you feel like you're the disciples and you're in the middle of a storm and you're wondering why is Jesus sleeping. My prayer for you today is that you will leave here with an overwhelming sense that one word from Jesus, one look from him, if he did it before, he can do it in your life. And let's believe that this morning. I want to pray for us, and then Daniel's going to sing that over us, and then the other Daniel Messina, will come up at the end and close us out. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for just a sweet reminder of who you are, a reminder that you are with us even in the middle of the storm, that when the storms rage, it's real easy to take our eyes off of you and put it onto the storm and start to panic, but Lord, this is a calling us back to just you. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. You are the author, and you're the perfecter of our faith. So whatever circumstances are around us, whether storms are rising, and Jesus, I pray now that you would get us back centered, that you would increase our faith to trust in you, to hold on to you, that if you helped us before, you're going to do it again. In Jesus' name, amen.